Hi, everyone. I'm Lori Casto, and you're listening to the Creative Disorder Podcast brought to you by DevoteToday.com. How will you devote today? And Wedgwood Estates in Mansfield, the area's premier senior residential community. Today, I'm talking to Susan Hamm. She is the Director of Grief Services with Hospice of Western Reserve. And it's really wonderful to have you here today.
Thank you, Lori. It's great to be here this morning.
You know, what an appropriate day with all the rain.
Exactly.
It just kind of gives you the blues just being out in the rain.
Perfect day to talk about grief.
That's right. And we've got Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, bam, bam, bam. And it's a time, and around here, so much is happening over the holidays. I absolutely love the idea of the new tradition and the idea of that, because it seems like, and it's because what happens, I believe, is first you have one loss.
Right.
And then the dynamic changes.
Right.
And you get used to that new dynamic, or you're getting used to that new, there's a shift to getting used to a new dynamic, and then another person passes, and then that brings a whole new dynamic again. So you're trying to grieve. Mm-hmm. Be living in your everyday work life, mm-hmm. and dealing with stress, and then trying to figure out that new dynamic. So I think that is such a great idea, mm-hmm. of the new tradition, because I think you hit it on the head, that family dynamic. That was the one thing that I wasn't ready for.
Okay.
The grief is one thing.
Sure.
But the family dynamic changes and shifts in a big way.
It really does. And that's a very underestimated aspect of grief, I think, you know, because every family has this shift. And so when I'm working with individual clients, or when any of us are, there's this fear from the grieving person that they're feeling like they're not as connected to the rest of the family that's still alive and well and here, but they feel just kind of, there's this pull away from the whole dynamic. And I can reassure them that that's completely normal. That's because each individual that's grieving is healing. And so you kind of have to retreat a little bit, because the family dynamic doesn't feel the same, and it doesn't feel as comfortable. Mm-hmm. So you take a breath and you take a step back and you heal, and then you come back together. And the way that the family fills back into place takes up some of that empty space in a new way, so that you feel whole again. But without that pull apart a little bit, just right during that middle kind of grief time, that 3 to 6 month time where nothing feels quite comfortable or normal, that's where you're doing a lot of healing and a lot of figuring out who you are now without that person in your life, and how the family dynamic's going to come back together.
Yeah, and I think that's so good, everything you're speaking about. And I think I can just say it in my own life, because I've seen it with different mm-hmm. family members that have passed. But it's like you'll start to go through the grieving process, and you're going through the grieving process, and everything is going well. And then all of a sudden, there is this blanket over you. As soon as you mention holidays,
it's
like this blanket, and it is almost as if the blanket lifts after the holidays.
It does. And the earlier fall hits, in terms of the crispness in the air and the temperature getting a little cooler, it's when that blanket starts to come down. That's a great analogy, the blanket. Our bereavement coordinators that work with Hospice of the Western Reserve, we tend to have this lull in the summertime where people are saying, you know what, I don't think I need to see you next week. I'm okay right now. End of August, beginning of September, our phones start ringing, and they ring right until the week before Thanksgiving. And then it's quiet until after the 1st of January.
That's something. Yeah. And I think, you know, being like an outdoorsy person that I am, mm-hmm. I love to be in the outdoors. And then what you're saying is like that time when, for me, it's when I can't be in the outdoors anymore and be out in that sunlight and get my, I get exercise, but I do it inside now.
But it feels different, doesn't it?
It does. And then you get the time change, which is coming up this week.
It's coming up.
And it adds to all that grief I feel. And I think, just speaking to the residents here at Wedgwood, I have noticed over the past 23 years that over Christmas, there seems to be more death. Do you think there is a correlation between those deaths and grief?
I think that there could be. I don't have the data and the science and the numbers on it, but we definitely see it and could speak to it anecdotally in our world. A lot of admissions to hospice right around this time of year, and a lot of deaths really, really close to holidays, and it's so challenging for families that are already dealing with an incredibly difficult thing, and then it happens to be happening at what is traditionally a pretty difficult time of the year.
And the merriest.
Yes. At the same time. That's like, it's like taking a snapshot of Disney World and it's the happiest place in the world. And all you see are screaming 3-year-olds that are overwhelmed and exhausted and crying.
I think that is so good. That is right.
Yep. And it is magical and happy and amazing and wonderful for some of the people there. Probably for most of the people there, but there is a healthy dose of people there that are just trying to get through the days and get back home, get back to normal.
Yeah, get back to the normalcy because there's this pressure. Again, just like you said, once you're at a place like that, the most magical, that everything's supposed to be perfect.
Absolutely.
And you've got this child that's 3 at one place, at one park for like 20 hours.
20 hours. Because 19 of those hours were in line for a ride.
Because we put all this expectation.
Yeah.
Like you said, right. There's this big expectation. What would you say about men or women that are seniors that have been with their spouse for 50 plus years and how to go through that process? And speaking to this holiday season, what would you say, you know, hey, how can we make this a little more merrier for those folks?
I would say ask them questions. Invite them to talk about it. Say their loved one's name, you know, the longing to hear the name of someone that you loved so much who is gone from your everyday world is immense.
I love that.
And so if you just say, what did you and Susan do for Thanksgiving at your house? And just invite them to share the memories. And, I invite you to do that in groups,
in
long-term.
I love it.
Care facilities, assisted living, group homes, anywhere like that. It's, you know, it's not all loss is death. Some of it's a move. Some of it's a major life shift and a change. And so a lot of people that live in our communities like this are, dealing with losses that are not deaths. They're also very blessed with communities of people around them that understand. And so use that. The new tradition is built right in to living in a new place like this. And so by doing holiday activities here that are different than what they did in their homes of origin, you've brought the new traditions to the table. But I think the thing that can get skipped sometimes is inviting people to talk about the old ones.
That is so, so good. I love that idea of bringing folks together. And what you're saying as far as it is a really positive thing that they have a group of people.
Absolutely.
That they can lean on and they can talk to. And I've noticed lots of people become friends, making friends. And when they take that step just to have a conversation with another person and that friendship that develops, it's amazing how a little socialization can go a long
way. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And out in the community, sometimes people are so lacking in relationships with people that are around their same age. And the things that they can talk about aren't things that I can talk with my mom about because I wasn't alive then. I can hear the stories, but I didn't experience it the way that her peers and her friends and her community do. And when they start having conversations, the laughter and the tears, it's a beautiful combination of both. And I think that anytime people gather, especially during the holidays, if you can find that sweet balance of a little bit of tears and a lot of laughter, you've done it well.
That's awesome. I love the way you're putting these words. And I think, you know, as we think about the holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, and we think about bringing up the old traditions and reminding ourselves the old traditions, but thinking about new traditions that we can come up with. I think that is such a great idea, having the time to listen and talk to people and let them bring in the names of their loved one. What are some other ways to deal with grief during these holidays?
For people that have a busier schedule, I think being really realistic about what the expectations are for you, during a year that you're really feeling your grief. And that doesn't necessarily mean the first set of holidays after your loss. Maybe that first set of holidays after your loss, you were so numb and exhausted that you just skated through it and you didn't really have to engage. Or it's really common that first year and that first set of holidays for your team, your tribe, your people to rally around you and carry you through it. In the years to follow, when you haven't quite nailed down what the new traditions are, sometimes you're feeling it a little more intensely than you were the year before. And you might be doing a little bit more on your own than you were in the years before. So be really purposeful about choosing what you want to do. I think it's up on our website now. There's a Dealing with Your Holidays plan. And it's a worksheet. And, you know, nothing makes things more tidy and clear than a worksheet.
Oh, sure.
It's just like what we filled out in third grade. But it talks about which people do you really want to see? Who is worthy of your emotional and mental energy? And what foods would you like to eat? What things would you like to do? Which things do you feel comfortable skipping? Who are the people that you can call when you're sad? Who can you call when you're anxious? Who can you call to laugh and talk about the good memories? So it's just a matter of identifying who you feel comfortable being around and what things you can weed out and which things are important for you to keep in. And I really encourage people to have a plan A and a plan B, because often people will tell me that their plan A is to stay home, stay in pajamas.
And that's not so good, I don't think.
Sometimes it can be, but generally in my experience, a lot of people start out the morning like that. And then by noon, they're bored.
Well,
and
more
they're
sad.
Restless. And yes, and they're getting sad. I think for everybody entering the holiday season, it is important to remember that sometimes, not every time, but sometimes, and in my opinion, it's just a personal opinion, the anticipation of the holiday hits harder than the holiday does. So,
agreed.
When it's noon and it's Thanksgiving and you're done being on the couch for a while because you're getting sore and you gotta get up and move around, it feels like, okay, this is a day and I'm going to be okay. And then you think, maybe I would like to go to that friend's house for dinner. So involve people in your plans that are comfortable with a shift. So say to someone, right now I'm going to say no, but could you save me a seat? Just in case I change my mind and want to come up for dinner. Or can I say yes and then please don't get mad at me if I bail? Or if right at the end of the dinner I Irish goodbye, because saying goodbye to people is a trigger
it's
for
tough.
Me
yeah.
And I just want to leave feeling happy. Those are the people that you want as part of your plan. People that will get it, give you grace, and give you understanding.
That is great. And it's been such a wonderful talk about dealing with grief over the holidays of Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. It's all coming up extremely quickly. And I would be remiss if I didn't, for my own, I have to bring in my own faith. I just, mm-hmm. I love the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I just know with after losing a father and a father-in-law, mm-hmm. and a mother-in-law now, and a lot of different people in life, that I could never have done it without my father, God. Mm-hmm. He brought me through. And that same socialization of talking with different people, I think that God offers me that, not feeling lonely, mm-hmm. of knowing that he's always there, mm-hmm. and he's always with me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. And I think that is another key component, even in my life. So I just
Absolutely.
Wanted to bring that up.
I'm glad that you did. And it's a beautiful thing. When people have that faith, it comes with peace. It comes with hope. And it can be a great comfort.
Well, thank you, Susan Hamm, the Director of Grief Services at Hospice of the Western Reserve, for coming in today and talking with me about dealing with grief over the holidays. You have been listening to the Created to Soar podcast brought to you by Wedgwood Estates in Mansfield, the area's premier senior residential community, and DevoteToday.com. How will you devote today?